you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. That's Matthew 6, 11.
O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, April 22nd, 2026, continuing our series on the Lord's Prayer. Actually, it's kind of his training, his means, his methods, his ways of helping us understand how to approach the Father and kind of giving us a template, a pattern of how to interact with God and how to pray and what to pray. And so today we're going to be looking at give us today our daily bread, as God invites us to trust him, not just for big things, but for everyday things, minutia things, little things. Sometimes people pray for parking spots, but God will do miraculous because nothing is too big for him. Like, oh, these are big prayers. Nah, everything is simple and easy for him to accomplish. But one day at a time, one step at a time, he is faithful to provide. And today I trust, I pray, our hope is that as you tune in, you may pray differently, or pray with more intentionality, or you'll pray to the Heavenly Father because he cares for you and you're going to recognize this. He created you. He delights in you. He designed you to flourish and to follow in his will. And there'll be plans and purposes for you today. And as you pray each and every day, Lord, order my steps or help me have those divine appointments or help me be faithful and true. The Lord's Prayer is a great template. It's a great way to pray and ask him to be in the center of his will. Joining us in the studio is a bunch of friends, some as far as Jacksonville to Champaign-Urbana to Chatham and Springfield. Any other towns I'm missing that I should highlight?
Beardstown.
Beardstown. Okay, friends from Beardstown. There's about 20 or so of us in here at the WLUJ studios in Springfield. It's kind of like a small group. We meet every couple of weeks and record a couple of programs, and today we're looking at Give Us Today Our Daily Bread.
Mark, this passage that we're looking at today, and in fact, this whole teaching in the Sermon on the Mount about prayer, I believe are anchor verses that anchor us to how we approach God, and they inform every other scripture about prayer so that we can look and say, where am I anchored at? What am I held to? For instance, there are certain things that are just not of the character of the Christian that are promoted in Scripture. So if you're dealing with somebody who has a high level of pride, they may be extremely charismatic. They may be filled with all kinds of gifts. But that fundamental flaw is a warning sign that they are not perfectly in alignment with God. You deal with somebody who has big anger issues. The anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Amen.
And if you're dealing with that, you need to sit. I don't care how talented they are, how gifted they are, what other things they bring to the table. Here is a flaw that we need to be able to speak to and look at. If we have those in ourselves, we need to be careful. So in humility, we come before Christ. So we think of it this way. We think we know what we want, but we don't.
Hmm.
Why is that? Why do we not know what we want? Well, one, we don't have all the information. God has all the information.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think I know what I want, but God knows what I don't know. Two, our desires are corrupted by the sin nature. I need the moving of God in my life to keep me from being driven off course by the sin nature. I need his redirecting power. The way that works is when I'm able to humbly come before God, and as we talked last week on the program, that we're praying for God's will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I want to encourage everyone to be praying every day, to take time to seek God. But we seek God with humility, we seek him properly with a surrendering of our life and our will to his. Now, that doesn't mean we can't pray big prayers, but I pray many, many prayers that say, God, if this is your will, if this is your will, do this. It's my will. I would like it, I think. But God, if I would get it, not like it, don't give that to me. Let your will be done, not my will be done.
Yeah, and I know that was mentioned last week, and you brought it up again today, and I wrote it down, that surrendering. And isn't that part of the aspect of prayer when we come to maybe the end of ourselves or the recognition that it's beyond me? And so there is that humility. It's like, God, unless you act, this won't happen. So we surrender, we come humbly, and that's what prayer is all about. It's the recognition that we can't do it.
There's a really interesting book, Mark, that's called Draw the Circle. It's a 40-day prayer challenge book. And one of the things it challenges us to do is to live a consecrated life. We approach God as if he's supposed to consecrate himself to us so many times in America. It says this, consecration is a process of surrender that never ends. And prayer is the catalyst. It begins with the sinner's prayer. We confess our sins to the Savior, and we surrender our lives to his lordship. And along the way of our spiritual journeys are all marked with these decisive moments when we either consecrate ourselves to God's will or we take our will back on and we do something our way. We are called to live consecrated lives to God. It goes on to say consecration means we no longer call the shots. We give God veto power. His word is the final word. So we come to God with this humility of you're in charge and we're going to let you lead and direct our lives.
Yeah, I wrote down the word vending machine because sometimes we can go to God like, hey, we put a coin or we did this good deed, therefore, ching, ching, we should get this answered prayer. We should be blessed with whatever situation or whatever the thing is we're praying for. But God's not a vending machine.
Mark, yep. I have seen people lose their faith because they have been taught, if you name it, you're going to get it. And they've named it and they didn't get it. And they lost their faith.
This is about not just submission, but this is also about trust. Because this is saying, God, I'm not expecting you to give me what I want, but I am expecting you to give me what I need. And it may not be what I want, but I'm trusting you. It's kind of like the next step after submission.
Now, the verse we're talking about here says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, bread represents a need in our life. Bread is not a pleasure request. It's not a request for something just to make me happy. It's a request for a need. So we are taught to pray for the will of God, and we are taught that we can pray for our needs. We all have things we need. We need food. We need sustenance. We need things. So one of the things we ask ourselves to separate the two is, if I didn't have this, how at risk would I be in life? Would it really be a life-shattering thing if I didn't get this? Okay, God, then here's my need, here's my request. And we kind of separate those two in the way that we approach. What is our attitude towards the gifts that in life that God gives us right now? How do I respond to them? So we live in America, and I'm telling you, I don't know where everybody in this room lives. I don't know where everybody listening to us lives. But I have been places where my bet is, 100%, my bet is that where you live would be a mansion in comparison to what people live in other parts of the world. They would think they had achieved the greatest thing to live in the most humble apartment in Springfield, Illinois. Because where they live, it's so small and so Spartan, if you will. And so we have many of our needs met. So we kind of... You kind of approach God differently, it seems like, when you pretty much have all your needs met and somebody who doesn't. Our spirit's different when we're dealing with somebody who, you know, a lot of our needs are met. Most of us today, there's no reason for anybody in Springfield, Illinois, I don't know about every community that's listening today, no reason for anyone in Springfield, Illinois not to have food today. There are places everybody can go if they need food. And they can get food. But there are millions of children in the world today that the only place they have to go to get food is maybe the garbage heap on the edge of town to look through it and try to find food. We have a response to that. We want to do something to help people like that. But when we look at the things that we have, how do we approach God when we are so blessed?
And this give us today our daily bread. Daily bread seems to be like the essentials or basic things. But this our daily bread, I wrote down that like continuous, it's ongoing. Is this something that people pray every day? Like, Lord, you know, thank you that my heart's beating. Thank you that I can breathe. Thank you that I have eyesight for those that can see. Or are these daily things that we're praying and thanking him for? Or is it just kind of our petitions on the basics that we need?
Yeah, I don't see God looking at us here, Jesus looking at us here saying, hey, you need to list out every one of those things every day. Mm-hmm. I need to be aware of them. I need to be aware that they're a gift of God. If you're healthy today, talk to somebody who isn't.
Yeah.
And you'll be grateful that you're healthy today. If you have food on the plate, look at people who don't. You'll be grateful for it. You'll recognize that God has provided for your need. If you have a warm place to sleep tonight, they tell us today that if you have a roof over your head, you have one good meal a day, you have more than one pair of shoes in your closet, you are richer than a great number of people in the world.
70%.
It's just amazing. And so we have so much, and we need to be grateful. That's why we stop and pray before a meal. We should stop and pray just to express gratefulness. God, thank you. You are our provider.
Mm-hmm. And I think the book I gave out a few weeks ago to many that joined us is called Praying the Lord's Prayer at Noon. And this was the catalyst of why we have different people praying at noon on our 21 frequencies. That's by Terry Takel. But one of the things he said about this, our daily bread, it's kind of like a laundry list, if you will, or a grocery shopping list, very basic kind of things that you'd be praying for. So when the Lord's modeling to his disciples, give us today our daily bread, are there other things we should glean or understand about kind of the simplicity of give us today our daily bread?
I just think just recognizing that God is our provider, mm-hmm. recognizing it, being grateful, not thinking I've earned anything on my own. Listen, if you're a rich doctor, you're a rich doctor because God gave you the ability to learn, to grow, to be able to do something with talent. If you're a rich businessman, God gave you abilities. Now, you are responsible to steward those abilities and to steward what God has given you. In every one of our cases, we're responsible for what God's given to us to steward them with generosity and with kindness.
Yeah, I wrote down, many people say, well, I pick myself up with my own bootstraps. You know, I'm persistent, I'm determined. Well, who gave you
the bootstraps?
Right, and who gave you the determination? Did you just self-will yourself, or did God gift you with the ability to persevere, to overcome obstacles?
To breathe.
Yeah.
To breathe, right.
We really can't take credit for anything.
Yeah.
Listening friend, I just share that because sometimes you could become maybe prideful. Yeah. Yes, you have talents, you have abilities, you've done some incredible things, but at the root of it all, who gave you life?
That's
who gave you breath this day?
Yes.
Please recognize there's a sovereign God that created you. Now, he delights in you. He's given you maybe advantages or the education, the brain power, the perseverance to accomplish things, but he deserves all the credit, and just recognize and humbly go before him. I think that's been mentioned a few times. When we pray, we're really surrendering. Oh, I was going to talk about the posture of prayer. Is that why many times we encourage people to kneel when they pray, because it's that surrendering, that submitting?
Yeah, there's lots of different postures of prayer, and I think all of those have to do with humility. I mean, you know, we can pray with our eyes wide. I can pray driving down the road.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to close my eyes. Right. Please don't close your eyes if you're driving down the road and pray.
Just
you can pray. So there's nothing magical about that, about me closing my eyes. I do that sometimes just to shut everything else out. I kneel sometimes just to show humility before God and to recognize and to tell my flesh, submit yourself. Mm-hmm. Submit yourself to God. Mm-hmm. Mark, there's some mistakes that we make in prayer. One is just a lack of prayer. People who don't pray, we act as if we don't believe God is really the source of all of our needs. And so we don't pray, and there's a lack of prayer. The Bible says in James that the wrong motive in prayer keeps me from getting my prayers answered because my motive isn't right. Yes. It's all about me the kingdom of God.
Yes.
We make a mistake when we fail to inquire of God about a decision. And, you know, we look in the Old Testament when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and when they finally went into the Promised Land 40 years later, and they make a treaty with this group who lied to them and said they were from afar off, and they didn't inquire of God. It said, you failed to inquire of me. Mm. Now, you've got to keep your word to them, and it cost Israel for centuries because they failed to inquire of God. It's a mistake to make a decision just because you think, oh, this must be God's will. You don't know the future. Humbly seek God's will. Number four, we make a mistake when we don't persevere in prayer. So you've got a friend, a loved one who's not a Christian, and you prayed for them for 3 years. Keep praying. Keep persevering. Keep seeking God. I tell our church all the time, your father may take 20 years of prayer. Get the clock ticking.
Yeah, start it off.
Start it up. Get going. Start praying. Start seeking God. Trust him. Keep lifting your voice to him. We make a mistake when we're not praying for God's will, like we talked last week, when we're not submitting everything to God's will. God, is this your will? Let your will be done. Let your will be done, and let me rest in your will. Then you know that what you're praying for is something that is right. Sometimes we make a mistake by not asking big enough. And sometimes we make a mistake, as you mentioned earlier, Mark, by not praying small enough. Mm. God is big enough to take care of my biggest needs. He's loving enough to take care of my smallest ones. He can do it all. And so I can bring every concern I have to him. He welcomes me to bring those things to him. So I just want to encourage people, begin a prayer life. Now, look in Matthew chapter 6. See the things he tells us to pray about. Look deep to see the attitude of which he tells us to come before him. And trust God for the outcome.
The thought that came to me was that Jesus began teaching these disciples that were there in the middle of it. He's teaching them to pray. I was just thinking, after he finished, the people said the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. And then after that, scripture goes on to say, it's almost like they wanted to test Jesus because someone wanted to be healed of leprosy. And I think this newness, this new revelation that, oh, Jesus is the Christ. He wants to heal us. He wants to answer our prayers. So they're testing him in a way, I think, because many of the healings, he heals many and he's calming the storm. And it just is amazing to me that the people are beginning to hear his teaching. He's beginning his ministry was my point. And it's like, this is new to them.
Mark, I want to go back. Were these like six or seven different things or topics? For the listener that might be grabbing a pen or wants to write them down, and you listed like five or six.
Six things. Yes.
Six things. Could you just give those highlights again? Because somebody might be grabbing a pencil or wanting to think about those throughout the day. So,
well, mistake number one is failing to pray.
Okay, failing to
pray. A lack of prayer. And so a lot of people treat prayer as if that's where I go when I'm desperate. Instead of
being... Last resort.
Yes, a last resort. What do people say? Well, there's nothing left to do but pray.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, wait a second. You should have started with prayer. That's what you should have started. That's the starting point.
Yes. Yes.
And then not having a prayer life, not having an appointment with God, leaves us in a place where we're not growing the way that we should. Number two, James tells us wrong motives. What's really motivating my prayer? God, straighten out my wife. Straighten her out, God.
Yeah.
And God may be looking at and say, no, you're the one that needs straightened out. You're the one that's out of line. What is the motive of my prayer? Mistake number three is when I'm in the place of decision, failing to inquire of God, failing to ask him for his wisdom, for his direction. So I've got this teenager in my home, and they are wild as a March hare, and we're having trouble, and I'm going to get a hold of this. Well, no, you're not. God's got to get a hold of it. Better inquire of him. God, what am I supposed to do? So you have failure on both sides. You have the parent who says, oh, they'll be okay, and they do nothing. Then you have the failure on the other side of it of, I'm going to lock them down. And neither one will necessarily work unless that's God's absolute will in it.
Right.
What is God's will? I've got to listen to him. Number four is a lack of persistence, giving up instead of persisting. So we see, and I think it's Luke 18, where the widow comes before the king, and Jesus says at the beginning, I'm going to teach you how to pray and not give up. And he talks to him about her coming again and again and again until this unrighteous judge or king or who goes, she's going to wear me out. He says, you got a good father in heaven. Just persist. Keep praying. If you know it's God's will. Number five, praying for God's will. Not asking God, is this really your will? Come, God, I want this. And number six in this list is not asking big enough and small enough. Saying, oh, I can take care of this, God. Or, God, I'm not going to ask for that because that's outlandish. It's the outlandish prayers that God really glorifies himself in.
Oh, listening friend, I hope you jotted that down. If not, you can call the station and we'll have that ready for you. But things to consider, think through, pray up, and be aware of, because the Lord taught his disciples and is even teaching us today methods, means, ways to pray. And today we looked very specifically at give us today our daily bread. So God invites us to trust him, not just for the big things, but for the everyday things. One day at a time, one step at a time, he is faithful to provide. And may you walk and trust in him today, knowing that the Heavenly Father sees you, he cares for you, he delights in you, and he'll meet your needs. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, and you can listen to today's program at any point in time. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Mark Johnson with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.